Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
I hate that song.
Greetings and welcome inside. Happy Monday. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Matt Nagy.
Sorry.
Mike Harmon.
Mike Harmon.
I got away
from
you right there, Mike.
You can call me Mark. You can call me a lot of damn things. But now you've just besmirched my name and taken me down a deep, dark rabbit hole. It's like me calling you co-tight. How dare you?
Hey,
How dare you?
Hey, you know what? And all the nice things I did for you this weekend, when I sent you video of your brothers going to the game in Cleveland because they were in that big fight afterwards outside. I was able to send you all
that video. And you got the guy yelling, "We're all Browns fans." And you sounded like the Britney guy. "Leave Britney alone." It was, "We're all Browns fans." And the guy got on camera and his friend was saying, "Get out of the camera shot. What are you doing?"
Yeah. Oh, no. I need a 30 for 30 on all of those people. I need on just all of those. Give me the video. I need a deep dive on that. Because that's the big thing now you see everywhere on the internet. Hey, this deserves a deep dive. Let's get a deep dive into every one of Aaron Jones's carry sites. So I need a deep dive into that Browns fighting Browns fans yesterday.
Well,
I
got to see that, buddy.
Yeah, no,
24
that's
hours, lots of networks, lots of internet channels, Twitch channels, all of that. So we can have all of it together. Pretty soon we'll all be wearing GoPro cams, and you'll be able to see our point of view on everything. And no, I was not giving you an avenue to a deep, dark path of stuff that happens in Chatsworth after midnight.
Whoa.
There you go, America.
Okay. You know, you're always the one to bring that up. You're always the one to bring. What do you do after the show every night? Like what do you do?
Wouldn't you like to know?
I'm up until like 6 a.m. But I'm like, are you on like a Coach Beard adventure from Ted Lasso? Like when you leave and you go on that?
Well, that's
like,
exactly it.
Is that what it is for you?
That's damn right.
Shut up, Thierry Henry.
And then I end up with a pair of sparkly pants and an Emmy.
Okay, very nice. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. When a train hits a vehicle or railway crossing, the results are often deadly, so be cautious at crossings. And if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train stop, because trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. Well, we have a smorgasbord and a potpourri to open up today. Kind of just like the cornucopia at the beginning of Hunger Games when it comes to NFL talk.
That's good.
But right now, if you like offense, you are loving the game right now in Green Bay. Packers and the Lions, 21-17, Green Bay with the lead. They just took the lead a couple of moments ago. Touchdown pass from Rodgers to Robert Tonyan. But the Lions
fighting pretty well tonight.
Funyan.
No, that's how you pronounce it. It's like Funyan.
Tonyan. Actually, I was looking at the picture of T.J. Hockenson before looking like Eddie Vedder. That was kind of an interesting thing.
This is true.
But tonight... We have seen Aaron Rodgers have an amazing night. 11 out of 13 for a 157 and 3 touchdowns. Jared Goff, hey, I could do this too. 15 out of 19 for a 158 and 2 scores. It has been up and down the field. The Lions have looked good. The Packers offense has looked good after a horrendous first week against New Orleans. But make no mistake about it. I mean, this is Packers fans right now are just wringing their hands going, if we go to 0-2 and our second loss is to the Lions at home on Monday Night Football, we may trade Aaron Rodgers before the deadline. We are not going to go gentle into this week if we're 0-2 and this is a loss to the Lions. Because the Lions never get to play on national TV at night. This is like seeing Halley's Comet. Look, you can see the Lions playing at night a football game. This doesn't happen that often. We usually only get them one time a year, and it's during Thanksgiving and because everybody's watching it. No, you're getting a very rare sight right now. You are getting to see the Lions playing a primetime game, and Jared Goff is carving up the Packers' defense. It is like danger, DEFCON 5 for the Packers right now.
Yeah, the defense is just being stomped on. Obviously, Za'Darius Smith being on IR is a big loss to them. And that's one of the themes as we finish off week two of the NFL season tonight is just we could do a full 15 minutes like with Sarah McLachlan playing in the background of guys that are hurt. either short term or long term, and well, in some cases, unknown. Hi, Matt Nagy, I see you. But this is one of those I tweeted this out a while ago, Jason. I think I'm the patron saint of all quarterbacks people hate. You know, the hate that was on Josh Allen before last year, Jared Goff. I kept saying there's more to this guy. He can't be that bad. And look, they letting him fling the ball around. He's doing just fine. Lamar Jackson, we talk about him all the time. It's like, let him be Lamar. Stop trying to make him into some other quarterback. And then, of course, Mitchell Trubisky, who, you know, is one of the guys that's on the mantle. But when it comes down to it, I mean, you got Goff. He's got time to throw, delivering a good ball. T.J. Hockenson, no matter how they cover him, I can't wait for the box and one to be employed because he is the number one target. He might be the number two target when it's all said and done. And they've got 80 yards on the ground. Swift was able to play. That was a nice bonus for them this morning and for fantasy owners, I'm sure, when they found out the guy they'd left in their flex spot was actually going to play tonight. So you got that bonus. But the Packers, offensively, you know, making enough plays, and Tonyan with that touchdown down the seam after a quiet start, all of a sudden you get him involved. Maybe that starts to stretch things a bit. Rodgers made the huge throw to Devontae Adams along the sidelines. So, you know, some of that timing getting there. I still don't agree that he should get a touchdown pass for that little, 18 inches that he flipped the ball ahead
of
Aaron Jones.
Well, your argument is with
they
the
all
National
count
Football
just the
League
same.
Then. Doesn't matter.
No, I got a problem with the National Football League on that point. But, you know, in the end, they all count, and, well, fantasy owners rejoiced. But here we are in a hotly contested game. I think 72% of tickets were on the Lions plus the number. And then you have that crazy-ass guy with his 16-team parlay where he's going to make some crazy amount of money. What was it, like $76,000 or something like that?
He put down $25.
If the Lions win.
If the Lions, when he bet on the money line, this guy bet in Vegas, he bet $25, a 15-teamer, and the last thing
right,
he needs is the Lions to win. $736,000. Right? So he gets $736,000. Right. The Lions have to win, right, if they got to win the game.
How about
if they
that?
Win the game, he wins. I mean, you go through all this way and at the end go, yeah, blank that. I'm not going to go for Aaron Rodgers. Let this all ride on Jared Goff.
But you're sitting there going the whole time as you put this parlay together, knowing the last piece of it is the Lions winning outright.
Yeah.
Not plus the 10.5 or 12.5 or whatever the line was when he was thinking about plunking down the money. But $736,000. Did Howie Mandel pop up and offer him a deal or no deal? Hey, would you like to cash out now and figure out what the expected value of that ticket is, which would be far closer to zero when they're a 12.5-point underdog? But here they are, fighting gamely.
Again, 21-17, Packers with the lead. They do have the football midway through the third quarter. We'll keep you updated on this game throughout the night. Of course, we got Jason Lock and Four coming up in a few minutes. So much big stuff to get to NFL-wise. But, yeah, just for a second, because, you know, my team stinks. We're 0-2, and we have no hope, and now it's really rough, and I'll get into that because it's just really just very difficult. So I want to just talk about the Bears here for a second because, you know, it's always fun when you're 0-2, and you look at a team that even has a better record, and you go, what is happening in Chicago? What is happening? Matt Nagy today. After Andy Dalton's injury, which it didn't seem like it was going to be too bad, but the Justin Fields era began. And he is definitely someone who needs reps. We can see that. All right, maybe this is the opening they need. Okay, we're going to see Justin Fields finally. And this ridiculous tied into Andy Dalton, whatever power he has over the organization, whatever magic he is using to make them say, no, Andy Dalton is our starting quarterback, whatever hold he has over the team in some kind of Harry Potter spell situation, you figured, okay, well, maybe that's not the case. And now that Andy Dalton is injured, you can hear Matt Nagy say something like, well, we're going to wait and see. We don't want to rush him back. It's somebody that, you know, we have to make sure he's okay before we bring him back. Nope. Let's listen to Matt Nagy from today on Andy Dalton's status as the starting quarterback. Alex Teichert's grabbing that sound. And Mike Harmon, I got to tell you, when I saw this, I shook my head because the first thing I saw was the caption on Twitter. And I said, there's no way that's what he said. There's no way. Nope. That's exactly what he said. Take a listen.
If Andy's healthy, is he your starter?
If Andy is healthy, is he your starter? That's something that I'm not going to get into with scheme.
That's not scheme.
Of course it is. That's 100% scheme, Brad. That's 100% scheme.
It's scheme. Is he your starting quarterback? No, it's scheme. You went out of your way to say he is our guy, he is our guy, he is our guy. And now, no, I'm not going to tell you it's scheme. And then they put out a statement after because that question and answer was not good enough, reiterating that Andy Dalton, when he is healthy, is the Bears starting quarterback. And I said, so he gives a statement that mainly makes you think, okay, they're ready to make the move to Justin Fields, right? Because he said the whole time, Andy's our guy, Andy's our guy. Is Andy your guy if he's healthy? Ah, that's a scheme question. Okay, they're getting set to name Justin Fields. Nope. After the press conference is over, they put out a statement. Andy Dalton is still our starting quarterback. Mike Harmon, this has gone from it's a little weird, but I understand to, boy, now it's a lot weirder, but I still sort of understand early on. Now it's the door is open to put your guy in, and now still we are committed to Andy Dalton. Like, are they afraid he's going to come in and beat everybody up? Is he going to go into Matt Nagy and beat him up? You promised me I'd be the quarterback, because this just doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't. I mean, it goes, okay, it's weird. It's really weird. Now it's, what are the Bears doing? You know, you can't say he's the starter in the press conference, but then you can say it after. And this is the perfect time to go to Justin Fields, because you could see yesterday, he's someone that needs the reps, right? All they need the reps. But he's someone that's not going to sit and learn, right? His style is he's got to be able to go in, and they have to build the offense around him, because he's going to give you a much different skill set than Andy Dalton. So he can sit and he can watch, but by the time he takes over, they're going to have to change the offense around him, and he's got to get out there and be able to do his thing. He's not going to do that. Well, he's just going to sit back and wait for that time to come. Now is that time. You have the chance to do that. Build the offense around him. You need somebody that can make plays. This is the chance to do that. All right? You don't need to wait until week 10 to make this move. He's not Aaron Rodgers, where he can sit and learn and take over at a high level. His style of play, he needs to do it. They need to figure out what plays to call surrounding what he does well and tailor that offense around him. There's no reason to not do it now instead of week 10. And here it is put on a platter for them, and it's, nope, we're still not going to go to this guy. I don't get it.
Well, a couple things. Number one, once again, they were moving the ball well before Dalton got hurt, right? While they'd only put 7 points on the board, he had a 14-yard run, tweaks it, eventually comes back in the game, but then he's done for the day. And Laura Oakman's report on the Fox telecast was he was telling everybody, I'm fine, and shrugging when asked how he was doing by all teammates, coaches, staffers, etc. So take that what you will. But it goes back to the Rams game. He played a much better game than anybody wanted to give him credit for. Why? Because they wanted to see the shiny new toy. And it takes nothing away from Justin Fields, right? Allen Robinson doesn't drop a sure touchdown pass. Maybe the whole tone and tenor of this conversation is different, right? The one big mistake that he made was when Logan Wilson dropped back in coverage and cut in front of, it was Marquise Goodwin coming across the middle for an easy interception, put them on the doorstep. Outside of that, played pretty well, number of drops, you know, you break it all down. It was a little sloppy for the Bears in many ways. And Joe Burrow, they let him off the hook to where they were even back in the game, right? Defenders colliding once again for a touchdown. Now, as far as this press conference goes, I made the mistake of listening to it live, which means...
That's tough for you. Yeah, you had a lot of Maylocks today.
Well, especially the way he answered that question.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then Brad
Biggs
and others immediately put out the, you wouldn't believe this. After all of that, you wouldn't believe this. Here's the statement. Look, I still believe, much like I did with Trubisky before him, that you've got a guy that you can make work. And I think more and more in Chicago, they're starting to realize and come around to my way of thinking, the problem is actually your coach, as opposed to the quarterbacks that you've hired to play the position there, Nick Foles notwithstanding. But with Justin Fields, quite obviously, you got an electric guy who can get out of the pocket, make plays with his legs, and keep plays alive with his legs and get the ball out fast. And look, Andy Dalton's got a good arm. Justin Fields has a better arm. So it's just if you're down that path, just decide that it's done. Stop making it an issue.
Nope.
Andy Dalton will be waiting in the wings if necessary. At this point, it's just stupidity, right? It's like, I think Andy Dalton should be the guy until he's not. Right, playing well enough. But if you're opening the door here by not putting him back in, even though he's telling everybody he's fine on the sideline, and then you confirm that the tests that you put to his legs were, you know, hey, he's good, and well, we'll see. And then you answer like an idiot. Sorry, I'm going back to the I'm not an idiot quote of a couple of years ago, that you have this type of situation. Now you're really just playing the local media for fools, and as much as they want to love the Bears, they will turn on you, and it will get ugly.
I'll tell you. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. I don't get it. The Bears, count on the Bears to make your head explode. They will always do that to you.
Yep. And that's a guy that's gone to the playoffs 2 or 3 years.
Oh, I know. I know.
Talk about him that way.
I know. To succeed despite yourself. That's exactly. He's pulling the Homer Simpson.
That's it.
To succeed
Homer
despite
Simpson.
Yourself. Yeah. Unbelievable. Not even the Jets are that bad. Dealing with a dead battery, head to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like free battery testing and free battery charging. Their free battery testing can help you know if you need a new battery or not, and if you do happen to need a replacement battery, they can help with that too. They got reliable replacement batteries starting at just $79.99, and they're the only place you can find proven tough Duralast batteries. So next time you're having battery trouble, head to AutoZone, your battery solution and America's number one battery destination. Late third quarter now, Packers with a 21-17 lead over the Lions. More on this straight ahead. Jason Lock and Fora, CBS Sports NFL Insider stops by. Are we closer to seeing any rookie quarterback changes? Are the Chiefs in trouble after last night? Yes, they are. All that and more right here. Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Joining us now on the hotline, a man who has spent the past 48 hours counting up, breaking down every one of Sean Tucker's 47 touchdowns against Albany. It is Jason Lock and Fora, CBS Sports NFL Insider. What's happening, Jay?
What happens in Albany stays in Albany, or Western New York, or wherever those things happen. I'm good. How are you, gentlemen?
Good. Hey, yeah, are Packers fans, are they feeling okay now with, you know, with seeing the offensive performance tonight?
I wouldn't be.
Okay.
I mean, look, let's be honest about where that franchise is, right? They're an all or nothing. Everything is ours, and we have the chalice, and we're hoisting the trophy that's named in the honor of our greatest head coach, or we had just another season. And I don't know. Do you think they're the best team in football? Like, it's only 2 weeks, and I get that, but they're nowhere close to being the best team in football. And this whole Last Dance thing was probably never going to have a magical Hollywood ending, and boy, it really doesn't look like it's going to have a magical Hollywood ending now. I have major reservations about their ability to be the last team standing 4 months from now. I had those reservations in the summer. What I've seen of them through almost 2 weeks has given me no pause, no reason to pump the brakes on my lack of expectations for them. I don't think it's going to end very pretty.
Jason Lockenfora says maybe there's a chance for the Packers. Let me put that up. Now, you know, the thing is that, look, they didn't really get a lot better in the offseason. You're hoping they can take another step. The division's not – the division stayed the same, basically. But this could get really rough. Like, if Aaron Rodgers finds some rough patches here, suddenly all that stuff from the summer and the offseason, that's just going to explode. It's like a powder keg just waiting for a few bad weeks, and then suddenly it's okay. Now we're at DEFCON 5 all of a sudden.
Well, I mean, and we could just strip all that away. They were a really horrible football team last week. Across the board. Offensive line, defensive line, passing game, running game, ability to stop all those things. And, like, this week, they're no great shakes. I mean, they're at home. It's their home opener. It's Aaron Rodgers' last home opener in Green Bay. These fans have been, you know, lubing up for this for 6 months. And it's a ball game. Like, it wasn't supposed to be a ball game. And, you know, the people running Detroit who have six-year contracts to try to get better by, like, the year 2028, they're, you know, they didn't think it was going to be a ball game. But here we go. It's a game. It's a game at halftime. It's a game at the end of the third quarter. And it might not be a game when it's all said and done, but I'm not buying their defense at all. Mike Pettine was a bad hire. They stuck with him too long. I don't think Joe Barry's gonna like be the dude who turns this all around. Za'Darius Smith is banged up. More injuries will strike this unit. I don't think they're really particularly fearsome in any particular way. The offensive line is not what it used to be. And Aaron Rodgers is 40 years old. So the good thing for them is they're in a crappy division. I mean, there's no dominant team. They're the closest thing to a dominant team in that division. But this has not struck me as a team that will do damage in January or February, and through 2 weeks does not strike me as a team that will do damage in January or February.
Let's talk about a team that you know all so well, that coming into Sunday Night Football, so many questions, so many injuries, and I think it was a laundry list, like the end of one of those movies on cable when they're trying to start the next one. But the Ravens, the love of Harbaugh and Jackson shows, and the clip that I think has been viewed some 700 billion times. Yeah. You want to do this? Let's do this. And they walk away with a win and take advantage of that rare Patrick Mahomes mistake. How much did the narrative change in Baltimore overnight?
Look, it was a huge win, and they slayed a dragon that a lot of people in these parts just didn't think they were equipped to slay, and particularly didn't think they were equipped to slay on this night as constructed, with all their injuries, going against a perfectly healthy Kansas City team. And even though it was a, you know, primetime game, and even though it was here with a crowd, because we know last year there were no crowds, they certainly made a statement. What's that going to mean in January and what it won't mean, I don't know. But it was absolutely vital for the Ravens to find a way to win this game. They exposed the underbelly of the Chiefs' defense in a way that, again, for what it's worth, not many teams will be able to expose, because not many teams do what they do. But they got back to their bread and butter. They have Lamar in the pistol, running the read option, running RPOs, playing around with the mesh point, deceiving that defense. I don't really know who the playmakers were last night for the Chiefs defense outside of Tyrann Mathieu and outside of Chris Jones. And when you line Chris Jones up on the edge, then all of a sudden the interior of your defensive line starts to look like a honeypot, starts to look very, very sweet to especially a team like Baltimore, who is inclined to run it at you between the tackles in ways that most teams don't. And the Chiefs had no answer for that, and they gutted them. Whether it was Freeman or Murray or Williams or Jackson, and they had their way with him, and they destroyed him at the point of attack. And Chris Jones never had his name called all night as a pass rusher or a run stuffer. Their linebackers are and again, all the defensive plays were made by Mathieu, and they were made in, you know, the first quarter of the game. And then Lamar got his sea legs under him, and they just ran the offense through him. And the Chiefs really didn't have any answers. So I don't know, again, what all this portends for the postseason. But it was a huge win for Baltimore. And for that team, with the hand that they were dealt from an injury standpoint, to be able to pull that thing out when you're losing 28-17 and you're losing 35-24 and it's getting late in the game, it should give them a boost of confidence. It certainly has people around here dapping them up and saying, way to go, because we weren't sure you had that in you. But, you know, again, when we get to February, what's it going to mean? I don't know.
Jason Lockenfour with us, CBS Sports NFL Insider. Feeling the optimism in Baltimore and glad Lamar Jackson wanted to go for it, because if he said no, maybe they don't go for it. Now, look, I know you're and my, one of our favorite topics of conversation is to talk about Urban Meyer and what's going on in Jacksonville. And after losing yesterday, he made sure to put out a hang in there Jaguars fan statement on
that?
Social media.
How about that? Coach,
hang in there.
Gives a vote of confidence to the fan base after two games. That's a new one.
Yeah.
Look, that's uncharted territory. Hey, Herb, whatever gets you through the night, bro. I don't know what that was. And then the Falcons followed up with it. Like, the Falcons were like, hold my beer. We're going to send out, like, our totally, like, dystopian, confused, like, where did this come from statement out of nowhere? Because, like, that's apparently where it's at for the worst teams in the NFL. So, okay.
There's 50, and this is typical Urban Meyer, again, a lack of adjustment to the NFL. Dude, you have 15 games left. You're not 0-2 heading into the Big Ten schedule where you can still win the Big Ten. You got 15 games. No, hang in there, everybody. It's coming. The turnaround is coming. Oh, my. Yeah. Every day.
I promise, we're not just playing golf. We haven't given up. We're... Yes, we're not going to LSU.
And you're in the AFC South.
We're probably going to LSU. We're not going to LSU. We're probably going to LSU. We're not going to LSU.
Just so amazing that two teams would throw in the towel like they're Duke in Rocky that early.
Don't worry, we got 15 games left, but please just follow us. It's all right. Don't stop watching games, because that'll get us all fired.
Well, because you saw how excited everybody got, Jason and Jason, when that first when that Trevor Lawrence touchdown pass went through. It was like, oh, look at this. Look at the Jaguars.
It was amazing, because the first drive was like 11 plays, 85 yards, in like 5.5 minutes. And then over the next three quarters, they possessed the ball like 6.5 minutes combined. Like, it was like they had 83 yards in the first drive, and then like they didn't have 83 more combined yards until like midway through the fourth quarter. I mean, like, you can't make this up. You can't script it. You can't, like, you know, put it in the Instapot and set it to slow based over 2 hours. Like, it's pretty amazing, but it's who they are.
Jason Lockenfour with us here on CBS Sports NFL Insider, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Carmen. All right, we had a big conversation about this, Jason, minutes ago. Lastly, the whole situation, whatever hold Andy Dalton has over the Chicago Bears, when he's healthy, he's still going to be the quarterback. Can you make sense of this here?
No.
Yeah,
no.
He ain't the best. He's Jason Lockenfour.
I can't. I won't. I shan't. I can't. I don't even know if I'm just trying to. I'm just like making up conjunctions at this point. Look, they've obviously tried to slow play this from the moment they drafted this kid, and on a certain level, I get it, because it's about job preservation and trying to navigate your way through this 5 month season and manage expectations and kind of have things happen in a way that's conducive to your job security. But, and I'm not saying that Fields was transcendent or, you know, great in any way in that game, but they won and he was there and he helped navigate them through it. And Andy Dalton is about depreciation, right? Andy Dalton is about how much of the guy we saw 4 years ago who made the playoffs, you know, five straight times with the Bengals, how much of him is still there, right? Like, it's about, like, trying to figure out how much of that dude still exists versus this other thing that could be so much better, and that let's get the learning curve and the kinks and the mistakes out of the way as soon as possible so that he can take off. He can be ascendant. He can lift the franchise. He can play the position in a dynamic, robust, aggressive way, unlike anything we've seen from a Bears quarterback in a long, long time. You know, and the powers that be aren't quite there yet, although my suspicion is they're going to kind of sort of have to be there by Sunday because I don't think Dalton's going to be ready to go.
You can follow him on Twitter at Jason Lockin 4. That is at Jason Lockin 4, CBS Sports NFL Insider. Jay, as always, buddy, appreciate it, my friend. We'll talk to you next week. Great stuff.
Always my pleasure, gentlemen. Thank you.
All right.
See you, Jason.
Jason Lockin 4. Can you explain the Bears? No.
Nope.
All right. Hey, there we go. That was Jason. I mean, that was it. There it is. Sometimes the easiest answer is a short one. No.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
The Lions lost. I'm sorry. I said Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. So week two of the NFL is in the books. The Packers beat the Lions 35-17. We'll have more on this game coming up in a couple of minutes. In 30 years that I've been doing fantasy football, 30 years since I started now, I'm almost a 30-year anniversary when I started. I started like a couple of years out of college. I still remember my first team. I didn't think there was going to be anything that could reset the industry, that could reset excitement in fantasy football. But doing this guillotine league, Michael Fabiano's our celebrity guillotine league that we're doing, in which all you have to do is not have the fewest points in the week, because if you have the fewest points, you're out, your season's over, and all your players go into the player pool. I didn't think there was anything that could jumpstart it. But this is like you and I share like three teams, four teams. This is like the league. I'm like, this is the one I want. This is the only one I care about right now. I want this guillotine league. It's so interesting. It's so different. The strategies and free agents and drafting. And you used up almost all $1,000 of your free agent money last week. And it's like, oh, we're gonna make it through this week. And it's just I can't get over how exciting it is. And then I go back and I look at our other teams. Like, okay, that's fun. It's exciting, but not what the guillotine league is. Because you think about all the star players you could be getting every week and bidding on them. And all you got to do is, even if you have a bad week, just don't have the worst week out of the 16 or 17 owners, and you think, this is great, I'm going to survive and move on. And even if you do get knocked out, it's you don't have to worry about it anymore, right? That's the other part. Do I got to keep putting a line? I'm 0-6 in fantasy, but I'm doing it the next 7 weeks. I got to worry about putting a lineup in there, and I'm not going anywhere. No, if you're out, you're out, right? You're out. You're done. I'm done. Out of the fan. I'm out. Guillotine league, I'm out. We're done. Oh, okay. That's it. It's over. I mean, it's incredible. I can't. It's like the only fantasy league I want to do right now is a guillotine league.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still in a number of industry things, and you're involved in a few of those that, you know, you have the personal pride, but, you know, your theory testing and they're bigger leagues. Like, gone are the days, it seems, of 10 or 12 team leagues. We're in a bunch of them that are like 14, 16. It's like, I get it. You want to have all your friends in, but now you're making it, a whole other world in terms of trying to set a lineup. And certainly in this guillotine league, when we look at the number of teams you're hoping and wishing, and that's why I went all in like a degenerate poker player, right? All right, Michael Scott in that episode of The Office, I'm all in.
Yeah, you
all
do.
Right,
yes,
I'll
you
call. It's like, no. But look, I didn't want to be one of the the first guy out. Second, the team that did get eliminated in week one had a lot of quality players. I also lost both my starting running backs. Not that anybody cares about my team particularly, but I lost two my starting running backs before the season even began. So now you're in an act of desperation. Fortunately, Tony Pollard, just like he was last year, is the better running back in Dallas. So I think I've got a diamond in the rough there that I already had on the roster. But otherwise, it was, all right, let's push in and play a little defense as well, because then those guys aren't coming up in teams to beat me. Now, eventually, I'm probably going to go die a terrible death in this league, but at least for the first 2 weeks, I survive. Survive in advance. You've got Mr. Unlimited, and you're stacked with DK Metcalf, so you're feeling pretty good. This week, Bob's going home, and, well, Bob doesn't have a lot of top-notch players, unfortunately, that folks are going to try to vulture. So, you know, I'm not going to get the equalizer of suddenly everybody spending their money because the poor guy had a couple of dudes that were on IR. I don't think anybody's really going to go spend money on Tariq Cohen or Traquan Smith or Curtis Samuel. It's going to cost them $5 to get him as opposed to the big bets I had to place to go get a Josh Allen or, you know, the guy that was good for a half, Elijah Mitchell.
Hey, he had 30 good minutes of football. I got to bid $300 on
him. Yeah, what happened to him? He's got one shoulder now.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you. I mean it, but it's just
fun,
so
though.
Incredibly exciting, man. I can't even tell you.
And I'll tell you, our buddy Paul Charchian, who I've known forever out of Minnesota, works with Paul Allen on KFAN and does a lot for the industry, has been on the board of directors for the Fantasy Association for probably half his life. Like, this is his brainchild. And anytime we bring it up on air or you reference it in a tweet, he's talked about just the love that goes through. So just to push that out there, you know, there are folks trying to continue to entertain you in addition to our nightly gymnastics with words and stuff here on Fox Sports Radio. So good to see friends that help push this along and give you another avenue by which to pull your hair out.
So there's positivity there for you. And now here's some more positivity that is sort of disguised as desperation. And in the words of our intrepid producer, Justin Frostberg, desperation is a stinky cologne.
Desperation is a stinky cologne.
Well, it's like Frostburg is there pushing the buttons. So today we had not one but two teams decide to say, you know, we're 0-2 now. We need to make sure our fans know that we're still trying. So after falling to 0-2, they lost to the Texans week one. They lost to the Broncos yesterday. Trevor Lawrence has not looked good in either of his two games. Urban Meyer, who wants everybody to know that, boy, I'm really not ready for the pro game, decided to put out a message on social media about how hard the Jaguars were working. This was put up by the team with a tag to Urban Meyer. Like, the Jaguars Twitter page went up with this, and this is a quote from Urban Meyer directly. "Hang in there with us. We're going to get better. The only thing about Jacksonville and the 904, like he's been there more than 5 minutes, the 904. The only thing about Jacksonville and the 904, go to sleep knowing that there's not going to be any group working harder to get this thing flipped." Oh, that's good, because I thought nobody in the NFL was working hard.
Isn't that what Tebow said in his famous speech all those
nobody's
years
Nobody's going to work harder. Yes, nobody's going to work harder. I'm going to bring you this championship after that big loss. I mean, I read that and I go, this is another coach who is continually wants to show us that he's not cut out for the pro game. I had great hopes for him, right? That he was going to come in. He's won everywhere. He's going to do it. And now it's like he can't have 5 minutes of doing something where, okay, I get it, and he's on his way back. All the reports all summer about how he's not getting along with his coaches and he's threatening their jobs and he wouldn't make Trevor Lawrence a starting quarterback and the Tebow thing and all of this, right? Everything going on. And then he puts out the message, hang in there with us. We're going to get better. All right, now, I get that Jaguars fans are frustrated, but this is Urban Meyer going, I've never lost two games in a row in my life. Let me make sure fans know that hey, stay behind us. What does that even mean? Dude, you got 15 games left. This is not where, hey, we lost our first two out-of-conference games because we had to play at Washington and Alabama in the kickoff game. Now we're getting into the Big Ten schedule where we're going to rack up wins, so stay with it. You got 15 games left, man. This is the NFL. What do you mean putting out of hang in there with us? We're going to get better. Oh. Okay, now I feel a lot better, right? Every fan is saying, oh, hey, Urban said hang in there with us. All right, now, you know what? I don't feel as angry as I used to because Urban actually says we're working hard because I thought for a while they weren't working hard, right? Like, they would all roll in to practice at like 12:30, you know, right after lunch. They'd hang out for a couple of hours, make phone calls, do some interviews, take off at like 3:30 or 4. Maybe they practice, maybe they don't. Oh, no. They're working hard. This is the NFL. Everybody works hard. You're supposed to work hard, right? And the issue is, this is the message that he feels he has to get out, right? Again, another instance that the pro game is too much for him. And there's nothing that I've seen so far that tells me he's on the cusp of turning it around and saying, okay, let's get going here. Now I kind of got it, right? It was rocky for a while, but now I'm getting it, and okay, now we're going to go here. I mean, instead he's worried about, let's put out a message to the fans and let some people know we're working hard. What in what world do you think this is going to help things? Why is this what you are bent on? Hey, let's make sure we get this message out, right? And then the Falcons do it a couple hours later. Yeah. Hey, we got 15 games left. Don't worry about it. It's like, whoa, I understand from teams. Because, look, it's easy to unplug from teams now, right? It's much more easier than it's ever been in the NFL to unplug from teams, right? Jets fans, hey, Zach Wilson's the future. You know what? Everything is the same. We're losing to the Patriots. We're getting drilled. Nothing has changed. It's easy to unplug and say, I'm going to go watch something else. My interest in the team is going to be somewhere else, or I'm going to call for people to get fired. God, I understand. I get that whole overall don't cut bait on us, right? Because we all want to keep our jobs and want to keep things going. But to say, hey, don't worry, there's a lot of time left. Everybody knows how many games there are in the NFL season. The NFL is not a new thing where, oh, there's 17 games. Oh, I thought there was only like 10. I didn't know. I thought they played like 10. Like, you know, you play once a week. How long is the season going to be? Like 3 months? It's 17 games. Really, what passes for what team's message they need to get out, it tells me, you know, how much you are equipped to handle the task at hand. And the fact that these are two franchises now, look, the Falcons have a new head coach and they're trying to figure things out with a veteran team that should be a little bit better than they were, because you have a pretty good quarterback, you got a couple of pretty good wide receivers, you have a superstar tight end, and you're not playing well. But the fact that these are the messages you feel like you have to get out there, are you really up for the task at hand? But especially Urban Meyer, because he's the one that put this out, right? The Falcons, this was their social media team saying, hey, let's do it. All right, probably not the greatest thing. You look like you're just stealing from what the Jaguars did. Why?
But just having fun,
right. But you're Urban Meyer, and you feel like you got to get this out there? Again, another day where I go, okay, another bit of evidence. Urban Meyer doesn't have what it takes. This is why I say he's going to leave before the end of the season in Jacksonville, right? 1 week with Urban Meyer is like 6 months with everybody else because of all the stuff that goes along with it, right? Great head coach. You question a lot of the moves he made, question a lot of things he's done personally, question a lot of things he's done professionally, questioning everything here with the Jaguars, right? So this is why my money's still on him leaving before the end of the season, because he could hang on till the end and at the end of the year say, hey, you know what? I met with Shad Khan. It didn't work out. I'm going to go one way. He's going to go the other way. No, because that would be a failure. And Urban Meyer is not going to admit to being a failure, right? Because that's what it is. It would be he failed, and then it's going to be sitting around doing TV for a year before he would get back into coaching somewhere. He's never done that. He's always been the guy to leave before. He's always been the guy to say, I call things, and I do it my way. If he waits till the end to leave, it looks like he's getting fired and he's not getting a college job because they're going to fill it before they wait until the beginning of January. So this is why he's going to be the one to say, it's not working, week 12, week 13, I'm going to leave, you know, interim coach, let's do it now while they can get to it. I couldn't do it. I'm excited to now be the new head coach at LSU or the new head coach at wherever it is. I'm excited to be there and go. Or he can say, I'm leaving and I'll have a new announcement shortly. And then when he is the new head coach, either at LSU or Miami or Florida State or somewhere like that, wherever he winds up going, then you can say, well, that was the move all along. I was leaving and then I'm going to be the head coach here. So when I do at the beginning of December, when I'm on everybody's radar screen, then I can do the interviews and I can get hired. I mean it. He's the latter day Bobby Petrino. He's seeing stuff like this. It tells me that this is the middle of September. And can you really see him sticking out all the way to the end of December? I can't see it.
I just wonder how much of this is the front office and Shad Khan saying, we need to have a message out there. You know, everybody else uses social media. We need to do this to rally our people. What's this do? Nothing. It makes you a laughing stock. And just because they ascribe Urban's name to it, I got to imagine there's something in the contract that unless he, you know, they put something profane to his name, he had nothing to do with this. This might have been the green stamp by the secretary in the coach's office with really not a whole lot more consideration of that, knowing that it's probably going to look dumb. It's definitely going to look dumb to most of us, but you're trying to rally your folks and just say, hey, we're a work in progress. Because really, as I brought up before, you know, the touchdown strike earlier, it's like, oh, there's the Trevor Lawrence we know. It's like, yeah, it was a fleeting moment. That's great. And every team except for the Falcons has had them at this point. No, really. Even the Jaguars with that touchdown pass from Trevor Lawrence, at least for a moment, it's like, all right. The big bad Denver Broncos came in, 6-point favorites to our house. And where I have, nah, that evaporated really quickly. And that was really the last play we saw of any consequence from the Jaguars offense. So, but every other team has had a moment, right? Even your Zach Wilson-led Jets in week one had a moment. Week two, not so much. But no, we go all the way through. And recognizing that it is a marathon, but you know, you're also trying to make sure folks that might be looking to go do something else around Florida, theme parks, beaches, sitting at home, watching whatever reality television show they like that isn't the NFL, that they still are in the mix for your entertainment dollar. And I think that's you're trying to make the play, and you end up looking desperate. How about just going and talking, put up a video that you're talking to folks about what was good, what you saw on tape, whatever. I mean, some of that you're going to do in your press conferences, but you know, you put out and let the social media team get activated. Yeah, some of them are good and snarky, and then sometimes there's just don't hit send, right? Herm Edwards showing up on the show again. Do not hit send.
Mm. Twitter at How About a Fresca? Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Dealing with a dead battery? Head to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like free battery testing and free battery charging. Their free battery testing can help you know if you need a new battery or not. And if you do happen to need a replacement battery, they can help with that too. They've got reliable replacement batteries starting at just $79.99, or the amount of fantasy points Aaron Jones had tonight. They're the only place you can find proven tough Duralast batteries. So next time you're having battery trouble, head to AutoZone, your battery solution in America's number one battery destination. So there you go, Urban Meyer. I'm telling you, tick, 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 tick. LSU, tick, 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 tick. Florida State, tick, 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 tick. Miami, tick, 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 tick. Coming up next, we have a story out of Monday Night Football that you're going to have to hear to believe. And it's got to do with a guy I just mentioned a couple of seconds ago, Fox.